Our title is Nitrogen Dynamics in Dry Land Cropping System. Unfortunately, she wasn't able to make it up, and presenting in place of her is Dr. Joan Hurd. Joan Hurd for the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm not as good looking as Cindy Grant, and I don't speak as fast, so I will try to do justice. I'm one of her messengers. I do extension work in the prairies, and a lot of Cindy's very strong research forms the basis of our extension program here. So, to talk about nitrogen dynamics in dry land cropping systems, first of all, nitrogen, as we know, is critical for crop growth, required for optimum yield and protein. Usually, it's the most limiting nutrient in our non-legume crops. It's our largest fertilizer input, and so management is critically important for environmental and economic reasons. We also espouse the global 4R nutrient stewardship framework to meet the environmental, economic, and social goals through those 4R implementations. Many of our prairie producers have adopted these 4R principles, ranging from deep soil nitrate sampling routinely to 2-foot depth. The seeder there in the center often routinely band applies nitrogen at or close to seeding, and there is some limited work with optical sensors. But even at that, its estimated recovery of nitrogen is maybe less than 50% in the year of application. The question is, what happens to that other 50%? Gone forever? Do we get it back? And our real question is, are our fertilization systems really that poor? Or are we underestimating our nitrogen efficiency? We keep track of nitrogen inputs and outputs in the province, and here where we've kept track in recent years, we see that the application and removals are fairly closely matched, indicating maybe the losses are lower than estimated. You can see there, prior to 1980, when we still did have some summer fallow in the province, we were actually exporting more nitrogen than was being applied. So what's the fate of the leftover nitrogen? It will affect our fertilizer management strategies. If it's retained and remains available, it's of less concern. Less concern to us, what's not left over may be used and taken up by the subsequent crop. But if nitrogen is lost, then greater inputs will be required with the higher long-term cost to the farmer and possible environmental consequence. The nitrogen cycle, we've seen that here. Parts that are inputs, either manures or residues, and fertilizer forms commonly used in the prairies, and other sources, organic matter, ammonium nitrogen converting to nitrate. The typical losses that we are seeing is ammonia volatilization from some of our nitrogen sources. We have immobilization through microbial decomposition of crop residues, leaching and possible runoff due to the nitrate portion, and denitrification. Of course, the optimum would be to see most of that nitrogen going into the crop and manifesting itself in crop removal. The amount of these losses depends on the environmental and management. And our losses can be high under poor management or under poor conditions. However, under our well-drained prairie soils, permanent losses from the systems are often quite low, the caveat if the fertilizer is in-soil banded. Volatilization losses typically, if it's applied, surface-applied urea, in some of Dr. Grant's work, in 10 days we can see 40 to 90% of urea nitrogen volatilized. In some work here, though, the banding application of that urea reduces ammonia losses to very low levels. In this work from the Brandon Zero-Till Farm, one thing to note is this scale is in ammonia grams of nitrogen per hectare. But compared to no nitrogen being applied here, we even have some measures there. If it's in soil banded, we have little volatilization. This is with the tilled. Under the reduced tillage, we have what appears to be somewhat more, but as Cindy has mentioned here, the losses that occurred were under an inadequate placement. When the bands did not seal, perhaps we see some losses there. Again, fairly low levels. These are in grams of nitrogen per hectare. But losses by denitrification and leaching can be relatively high in poorly drained areas, such as we see here. And our Manitoba thumb rule is, in the spring, under saturated soil conditions, we typically might lose 2 to 4 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare per day. That's with cool soils and water, and we know as biological activity is increased, though that can be substantially higher mid-season. As far as leaching losses, again, we have some thumb rules there as far as the amount of rainfall that may move that nitrogen through the profile. Banding an ammonium-producing source generally reduces the risk of leaching and denitrification. Of course, first ammonium must convert to the nitrate, and when we band it, it reduces the contact with the microbes, slows the conversion of ammonium to nitrate, lowering the nitrate concentration, and reduces the risk of some of those losses. On the prairies, about 70% of the fertilizer nitrogen is band applied, and so that means that it is one of our core best management practices for nitrogen use. However, we do see, I guess what we'd refer to as backsliding. Some large producers are shifting back to surface applications for both for time and labor management issues. Studies looking at fall applications of nitrogen in Manitoba soils here, looking at banded urea and the yields compared to an equivalent if it was spring applied. And the bottom graph here is the time of year that it's applied. An objective is to apply close to freeze-up, and then there'll be very little microbial conversion of ammonium form to nitrate. And that's what we see on poorly drained soils. If we apply early in the fall, we can have that conversion take place, and we'll get poor performance out of our nitrogen. However, on well-drained soils, there is some ability that those losses aren't occurring, and we don't see the same penalty as long as those sites are well drained. Under dry conditions, mineral nitrogen can persist in the soil from year to year. This is some soil test observations from tracking, courtesy of AgVise Labs. I can't remember this, but apparently there was a drought in 1988 and 89, and that nitrogen was effectively banked in those soils where they weren't subject to losses. Under several studies done across the prairies show that residual nitrate from previous fertilization can persist under our conditions. Residual nitrate in the soil tended to increase once nitrogen application exceeded those optimum crop yields. And we can see that with some of the sites here where we do see some elevation in nitrate levels remaining from these nitrogen applications below. The anomaly being a location in Lacombe that has very high organic matter levels and a high mineralization rate that actually masked the fertilizer applications. A following wheat year put on there, a wheat crop, looking at the amount of nitrogen taken up by that wheat crop, we can see that, yes, quite a bit of that previous nitrogen did exist and was taken up by the following crop. But recovery of that was more than just the nitrate contribution alone. Where the soil nitrate had increased by less than 20 kilograms per hectare, we're actually seeing uptake of closer to 40 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare, causing us to wonder, is this reflecting increased cycling from nitrogen in the organic fraction? We know that nitrogen can cycle from year to year through immobilization and mineralization. And this is shown here, but the difference between durum wheat stubble in the red and field peas in the blue, both immobilize nitrogen early, but later in the season we see mineralization as a nitrogen contribution. Nitrogen studies done by Aluka in the 80s in Saskatchewan support this, the importance of immobilized nitrogen. With nitrogen applications, a good crop took up 56% of the fertilizer nitrogen, a poor crop half that, about 27%. The amount remaining in the soil in a good crop, 39%. The poor crop, almost double that, 71%. Being only trace amounts lost to leaching, very little lost, which may account for gaseous losses, but 70 to 80% of the nitrogen in the soil at harvest remained in the organic form. And quoted here also is a study in France looking at the fate of labeled nitrogen after 27 years in an area receiving somewhat more rainfall than in the prairies. In the first few years of the study, 88 to 95% of the nitrogen was in the plants, soil organic matter, and the seepage water. Greater losses under wet conditions. Missing nitrogen increased over time to 15%, likely due to losses in nitrification and volatilization. But by the end of the study, 12 to 15% of that nitrogen, after that 27 years, was still in the soil organic matter. Over the course of those years, 65% of that nitrogen had been recovered and removed by the crop, and really emphasizes the long-term cycling of soil organic matter and that the losses of nitrogen may well be less than believed. Through immobilized nitrogen is not really a loss. If we're building soil organic matter and improving crop quality, that nitrogen may come back into the system. And the improved soil's ability to buffer and provide nitrogen in years when yield potential is high. So we need to consider both the soil nitrate and the mineralization in order to predict our soil and supply. Reducing tillage, eliminating fallow, and using balanced crop nutrition can increase our mineralizable nitrogen. We see that intensive tillage and fallowing mines organic matter for nitrate, whereas continuous cropping, reduced tillage, and nitrogen fertilization increases residue return to the soil, which increases the organic matter and mineralizable nitrogen. The results from this study done by Colin Campbell in Saskatchewan shows the nitrogen supplying power from the low amount being from a fallow wheat rotation. That fallow wheat is fertilized. It has a greater supplying power. If we start continuous cropping wheat, we have a supplying power, even more so if that's fed with nitrogen and phosphorus, and the supplying power with green manures, and those even without fertilizer, but with a three-year hay in the rotation. You can see all those are helping lead to a greater nitrogen supplying power. Building soil quality improves the crop yield potential and crop nitrogen recovery across rates. Here's work from the late Guy Lafond in Indian Head, Saskatchewan, where two adjacent farms were looked at, the one being Guy's sites, the red bar here, and this is the yield response to nitrogen versus across the fence, the blue bar. The difference being long-term no-till versus intensive tillage, continuous cropping versus fallow, and optimum nitrogen application rather than mining rates, and shows that this is actually over the long term. Nitrogen use efficiency improves with that improved soil quality. So nitrogen losses from banded nitrogen appear low on our well-drained prairie soils. Our fertilizer input and offtake are often well-balanced. Fall nitrogen can perform well in our situations. Volatilization, denitrification, and leaching are commonly low. The major path of fertilizer loss, and this is apparent loss, may be through cycling, simply mineralization and immobilization. And this is especially true if no-till is contributing to increased organic matter levels. Nitrogen can improve soil quality and remain available for future crops then. But our losses are quite site-specific, between and within fields. On our well-drained sites, our losses may be low, but we do have these poorly drained sites, sometimes within the same fields, and losses can be higher, and more intensive management could be beneficial. We need better site-specific assessment of those loss potentials and pathways. And most good researchers know that if you're going to invest in doing research, you're going to do it on the best the well-drained areas of those fields. And so we may have tended to underestimate our field scale losses simply because of where we tend to locate our plots. So it's critical to consider the nitrogen dynamics in the dry land systems we have, match the management practices to the environment, and again, we espouse the 4R approach, this using rate, source, timing, and placement. Consider the field-to-field and in-field variability. We see here some opportunity for the enhanced efficiency fertilizers, maybe split applications for those areas where environmental conditions might promote losses. We need to do a better job of considering the carryover of nitrogen from year to year. Both mineral nitrogen and nitrate soil testing is the standard in our area. We also need to consider the nitrogen from organic matter. We may well be underestimating the nitrogen use efficiency if we don't consider all those nitrogen dynamics over the long term. So thank you for your attention.
Time for a couple of questions.
So you just mentioned you will start using surface up high urea in your area. So why is that?
Why there may be more surface applied urea in your area? I know why it's occurring in our area. There is a tendency towards farms getting larger and reduced labor force and time, and so they're trying to what's been termed logistic efficiencies put in place, but they may well run contrary to nitrogen efficiency. And so we're still strong proponents of in-soil banded nitrogen, but some of those 4R principles, such as source or efficiencies, so that's where some of the improved efficiency products in our area, Super U or ESN, may well be some of the technologies that we can use to minimize losses from surface application. But our gold standard is still in-soil banded. Thanks for the opportunity to speculate, Keith. One of the things that I think that's often being ignored is not so much the placement in soil where it's more available with depth, but we also need to consider the separation sometimes from a lot of the crop residue and tend to minimize some of the immobilization so that in essence allows us to recover more of that nitrogen. It's when we mix the fertilizer and the residue all together that we tend to maximize this immobilization and short-term deficiencies. But several advantages to banding, but we do have some technologies now that make broadcast not quite so bad.
I have one more question.
Our carbon that may well be immobilizing is that we've seen in our prairie situation, we've seen some great advances in the past 15, 20 years. Our crop yields have gone up a lot. And with reduced tillage, we're not burning off as much of that residue with tillage. So the combination of high yields, high residue returns, and less tillage, in essence, are leaving more carbon there to be active. To the extent that it's creating some hardship for seeding operations with that residue.
Thank you.